Well, good morning, Springfield. I am so honored to be able to come and speak to you this morning. On behalf of my wife, Lori, and Kenneth, we just say we hope and pray that you're healthy. This pandemic, this COVID-19 has kind of got us all quarantined into our homes. And so here I am preaching from my home. I was going to go to the church and do it, and we tried it, and it was a little echoey without any people. And so anyway, I'm just going to come to you this morning and share with you what I feel God has placed on my heart over the last, two or three weeks, even a month now, as I've been thinking about being able and having the opportunity to come and speak to you. So anyway, thank you for inviting us into your house of worship, your house of prayer. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and we pray with our whole heart, body, soul, and mind that you would guide us in these next few moments as we open your word, as we dive in and pull from that what you would have for each one of us so that we would be more of what you created us to be in our life, so that we would have an influence, we would be a light, a sounding board. And Lord, we just pray that you would guide us in everything that happens here as we, as you speak to us, and that you would not just let it just lay idle, that we'd just maybe gain a little knowledge or something different, but that we'd implement that into our life. And so, Father, we thank you and praise you that you sent your Son so that we could have this opportunity to share the word, the truth, the life, the things that keep us safe and in freedom. And we give you the praise in Jesus, your wonderful name. Amen. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about who Jesus is, what Jesus is, what he did for us. It's a couple weeks after Easter. And as I come and I was thinking and I was pondering and even working on this through the Easter season, this is not an Easter message, but it will have a little bit of detail in it about that. I'm going to speak a little bit just for a few moments to you ladies. I know you ladies sometimes look at us. I'm hoping you have a little bit of compassion for us when we are shopping, Christmas shopping. We're wanting to... Please don't mock us. Don't laugh at us. You may shake your head and turn away, but I may even ask that you would pray for us sometimes when we're shopping for that special gift for our spouse, that special gift for someone that we dearly love with our whole heart. Here we are, us guys, we leave our familiar habitat of the sporting goods section or the food courts where we like to hang out and talk and yes, big screen TV section where we can search the electronics and all those things. You probably won't have any problem spotting that person in that store that's trying to figure out. I thought maybe as I was shopping for Lori for her birthday and we've had our anniversary and even Christmas, as you shop, you know, sometimes you think, oh man, a nice mixer or a nice blender or an air fryer or this. And then you get to thinking, probably that's not showing a lot of love. That's asking her to do something and to cook for us. So that may not have been a thing. Then I found myself going from department store to department store. And then they have these lingerie places. And then my thought pattern goes to, you know what? The first thing they're going to ask me is, what size is she? Oh, man. I quickly abandon that thought and I go on and I go to the next place and then I think, oh, you know what? Every lady has a pocketbook. Let's go to the pocketbook section. And so I head over to the pocketbook section and I walk into that place. Now, you realize men only have to have billfolds. But as I go in and I tell the lady there that I'm trying to buy the special gift for this special person, she says, well, that's great. That's everybody. What kind of purse would you like? Would you like a handbag? Would you like a shoulder bag? Would you like a glove bag? Or maybe a backpack or a shoulder pack or change purse, a money bag, a tote pack? Pocketbook? A satchel? And I just turn and walk away trying to figure out what the world do I get for this special person? So as you see us deliberating, as we're trying to figure out what the world are we going to buy for our special person on those special days, ladies, I ask that you pray for us a little bit. Sometimes it's very, very difficult. Well, I tell you, not only sometimes do we enter places that we don't generally enter, or unusual places, we do unusual things. We'll assemble bicycles in the middle of the night so that it's together, so that our children will, or our child will have the bicycle ready for in the morning, or we do it all over again. Really, if you think about it, we're really at our best when we're giving. Well, I want to share a scripture verse. You're familiar with it if you've been to church at all. It's probably one of the most prominent verses in the Bible, and everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of people nowadays probably don't know it, but it's John 3:16. For God, the creator of the heaven and earth, the one that keeps this earth spinning on its axis, and that person that created every one of us, each individual, everything in existence was created, that God, for God so loved the world. I'm going to say, for God so loved Randy, for God so loved you, that he gave his one and only son. Wow, stop and think about that. Now, I have a son that's 17. God had a sense of humor, and I had a child when I was 50, and Lori wasn't supposed to be able to have children, and he blessed us. We love it. Well, I have a daughter that's 40. I have a granddaughter that's one day older than my son, so you can decipher that and tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor on that day when we was in the hospital. But anyway, if we stop to think about that, would I give up Kenneth? Would I give up Scarlett for you? I don't know most of you. I know a couple of you here at Springfield, but I don't know you. But would I give up my only son or my only daughter for you? That's a powerful verse, because God the Creator, he loved us so much, loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves to give. That's why we feel good when we're giving. And so, have you ever wondered why God gave so much? We could exist with a whole far less than what we have right now. He could have left the world flat and gray. We wouldn't have known any difference, but he didn't. A little poem: he splashed orange in the sunrise, and he cast the sky in blue. And if you love to see geese as they gather, chances are you'll see that too. Did he have to make the squirrel's tail furry? Was he obliged to make the birds sing? And the funny way the chickens scurry, or the majesty of thunder when it rings? I'm sorry, lost my place. Why give a flower fragrance? Why give food its taste? Could it be he loves to see that look upon your face, his children's face? If we give gifts to show our love, how much more would he? Matthew 7:11 says, if you hard-hearted, sinful men know how to give good gifts to your children, won't your Father in heaven even more certainly give good gifts to those who ask him for them? God's gift, his gift of his son, revealed his heart. He is a giver. Jesus' brother James tells us in James 1:17 out of the Message, every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Every gift reveals God's love. But no gift reveals his love more than the gift of the cross. That's hard to think, that the cross, yes, the cross was a love gift from God the Father to each one of us. The gift came, wasn't wrapped in paper, it was wrapped in passion. It wasn't placed around a tree, it was placed on the tree. And it wasn't covered with ribbons, It was dripping with blood, the gift of the cross. Think about that just a little bit. Jesus didn't have to give all of those the gift of the cross. Imagine as he's laying there on the cross, as they're nailing those spikes into his hand, as he would turn his head and he would look into the and see the hammer and the spike that's about to pierce into his wrist. You see, if you stop to think about it, the only required act that was needed for salvation was the shedding of blood. Yet he did so much more. Thanks be to God for this incredible gift, the incredible gifts, the gifts of love. Let me reveal those to you just a little bit. Search the scene of the cross for love. Let's look at the cross for love that was given because he gave his son. Let's search it. There it was, the crown of thorns, the nails in his hands, the wine-soaked sponge, the sign above his head, the two crosses beside him. And all that we can say is that you gave these gifts of love to me, Randy, to the congregation, to each individual here in Springfield. And I say, yes, he did. He gave every one of those gifts to you because he loved you. Another little poem, the headdress of pain which sliced your gentle face. Three spikes piercing flesh and wood to hold you in your place. The need for blood I understood, your sacrifice I embrace. But the bitter sponge, the cutting spear, the spit upon your face. Did it have to be a cross? Did not a kinder death exist? Then 6 hours hanging between life and death, all spurred by a betrayer's kiss? Oh, Father, you pose, heart still at what could be. I'm sorry to ask, but I long to know, did you give this gift of love to me? Think about that. We've always looked on Easter Sunday or on the Friday when there's death. We stop and we reminisce and we think about the horridness of the cross. But today I want you to think about the gift of love that God sent because of those nails in his hands, because of the spear jabbed in his side, the blood-soaked ground beneath him. You see, I feel we have not done a very good job at showing that kind of love as his children here in the United States. If you stop to think about it, over the last 100 years, for some reason, we've lost ground. I don't want to be negative, but I tell you, our United States has turned more away from God than we have towards God. Why is that? If God dwells within us, if we've asked him to come into our heart and to be our Lord and Savior, and we're to be a light on a lamppost, do you not think that we should have changed and went the other way? And so as I bring this message, I even since retirement, I've had some training and some things that's really got me to thinking about how do I love people? How do I love unlovable people the way that God loved this unlovable person for so many years? We're to be like Christ, right? We're to act like him. Our heart is to beat like him so that we cry over what he cries for. We laugh at what he laughs at. We have the same goal in mind to expand his kingdom while we're here on earth. I ask you, how well are you at passing on the love gift to your fellow man? As I said, we're to be light. We're to be the love out there in this world. The Bible is called to be, or not called to be, but the Bible is referred to as a love letter from Jesus to each one of us. And so should that not naturally come out of us? I'm asking that question. Let's look at John 13:35 out of the Message. This is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples, when they see the love you have for each other. Think about that. God is dependent upon us to show love. And if we don't show love the way that God describes love in the Bible, the love chapter for sure, the unconditional love, if we don't show that same kind of love to those that are around us, that God puts into our path, the people that we work beside, and I'm even saying in our homes, are we showing the love that God desires us to be? The love like Jesus and his Father had. The love like the Father had for his Son that sent these love gifts to each one of us. That sometimes scares me. I know God won't hinder someone from getting into heaven because of a fault of someone else, but if my children and my grandchildren and my family do not witness that love, that same unconditional love coming out of me, where are they going to see it? I'm talking about that kind of love when you're walking down the street. Now you're going to find out who I really am. You had a little bio and of who I was and was in the Marine Corps, went to Vietnam, fell in love with this beautiful young lady, that the rote lady, Tony and Gloria, part of that family, and what a beautiful family. And so you know a little bit about it, but now you're going to find out what's really inside of me, because I have this tendency, God's changing me. He still is. He's got a long ways to go, but he's patient and he's kind. But as I'm driving down the street, I don't know, when I see these people, these guys that have their pants down around their knees, I don't have a desire to see their underwear. I don't want to see their underwear. But what's the first thing that comes? I begin to judge them instantly. I don't think Jesus did that. He hung out with those kind of people. They come with piercings, and I'm immediately judgmental, because why are you doing it? I really would like to ask them that, but why am I so judgmental when Jesus looked at Randy in the state, the mess, the horrible sinner that he was, and he loved me? Not only did he love me, he died for me. He shed his blood for me. Jesus loved me. And I'm to love every individual the way that he did. He loved sinners in a whole different way than he did the spiritual gurus. I'll call them gurus. The spiritual people in the temples and those that tried to kill him. And he was harsh sometimes with his disciples. He loved his disciples, but he corrected them. But when he was with sinners, he loved them. I feel they even knew and felt his love before he ever spoke. So I ask you, does those people around you know the love of Christ? Those that are unforgettable, the ones that you don't want to be around, do you love them with the same compassion that Jesus had when he looked down from that cross and some of his final words was, "Father, forgive them"? Those that just spit on him, those that just pierced his side, those that had just beat him, "Father, would you forgive them?" Does my children, does my coworkers, the people that God has surrounded me with, do they feel that love coming from me? The only way that our neighbors will know Christ, maybe, is through us. The love that we have, that we show. The only way our children may know is through the love that we show, and how we maybe talk about our fellow Christians that are in the same church. How is it going in your home? I ask you, how is it going in your workplace? What are we to do? How are we to act? Well, I'm going to end here. I don't know how long you're used to people preaching, but I'm going to end with a reading. I read a book just lately. I've never read it. It's a fun, short read. That's Og Mandino's book on the greatest salesman in the world. It's a fun book, and there's even a sequel to that, which I don't want to ruin that, but getting into the sequel, the greatest salesman in the world may have been Jesus or Paul. Anyway, it's a fantastic book, but I want to read a few things. I'm going to leave with you a few things that maybe we can do that would show the love of God, of love of Jesus, the Holy Spirit that lives within us as he seeps out of us. How can we show that love? And so Og Mandino, I've added just a little bit here and there, but most of it's called from the scroll mark number 2. It's the scroll of love. And as you get up, say to yourself, I will greet this day with love in my heart. First, this love is the greatest secret of success in all ventures, Og says. I will make love my greatest weapon, and none of whom I meet can defend against its force. I love that. And so how do we do that? How will I do it? I will accept this incredible gift of love, and I will make Jesus Christ my Lord. If you've not done that this morning, you will not be able to love with the same love that God has unless you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. It won't happen. Humanly, it won't happen. There's good people. There's people all kinds. But you need to have the Lord as your personal Savior and the Holy Spirit living within you to be able to be the love that Jesus showed as he hung on the cross. From now on, I will look on all things, those things that I don't even like so well, the baggy pants, the piercings, or whatever it may be. There's a lot of things that's out there in this world. I will look on all those things with love, and I will be born again. So how am I to speak? Og says, I will praise my enemies, and they will become my friends. Kind of sounds like the Bible. I will encourage my friends, and they will become my brothers. Always will I dig for reasons to applaud people. Never will I scratch and try to find excuses to gossip. When I am tempted to criticize, I will bite my tongue. But when I am moved to praise someone, I will shout it from the rooftops. That's how we're to speak. So how are we to act? I will love all manners of men, all personalities of men, for each has his own qualities to be admired, even though I don't see them. God created us. He didn't make a mistake. And if I will look at all individuals that they have these good qualities that God gives them, I can then love them through the same eyes that Jesus loved them. How will I react to the actions of others? Now that's a question to ponder. How do I accomplish that? With love. For just as love is my weapon to open the hearts of men, love is also my shield to repulse the arrows of hate and the spears of anger. Adversity and discouragement will beat against my new shield and become as the softest of reins. Love. I believe if you saturate yourself in God's word, that love can be your shield. That's how I'm to meet and react to those that don't respond too well. How will I confront each one whom I meet then? Well, in only one way. Now, this is probably my favorite. I'm working on this. I really am working on this. My wife is incredible. How will I confront each person that I meet in only one way? In silence. And to myself, I will look at that individual in the eyes and say, I love you, without opening my mouth. Though spoken in silence, these words will shine in my eyes. They will unwrinkle my brow. They will bring a smile to my lips and an echo in my voice. And his heart will be opened. And who is there who will say, no, I don't want you as a friend? I stop there. I feel that is the way that Jesus was. We're to be like him. We're to love. It's supposed to seep out of us. But if every individual that we meet, that we come in contact with, every individual that we see as we're walking, I'm hoping to walk down the mall sometime, every person as you're walking down the street, as you make eye contact, does that person know you love them? Now, I say that because I used to be this old, hard, crusty old Marine that thought, you know, I had to be bad. I had to be tough. I had to be strong. It's kind of passed on to my son, and I hope he learns some of these things that I'm learning also. But as I would walk down the streets or the mall with Lori, I tell you, there has never been a time. I think I can say there has never been a time that we have ever met anyone that has not looked at my wife and seen her eyes, and without her speaking a word, has put a smile on that face of the person coming the other way, or a nod. She's incredible. Why? Because she loves in silence. She loves those individuals that maybe we don't even want to love. They know that my wife loves them. What a great challenge for all of us as we proceed and as we still try to build God's kingdom. I don't know what it's going to look like after all this is over, but what if we began by just loving every person with that love that God gave us? And most of all, we have to love ourselves. For when I do, I will zealously inspect all the things which enter my body, my mind, and my soul, and my heart. Never will I overindulge the requests of my flesh. Rather, I will cherish my body with cleanliness and moderation. That's what Christ wants for his temple. So I will greet every day with love in my heart. From this day forward, I will love all mankind. From this moment, all hate is let from my veins, for I have not time to hate, only time to love. From this moment, I take the first step required to become a man among men and a woman among women. If I have no other qualities, I can succeed with love alone. Without it, I will fail, though I possess all knowledge and skills of this world. So I will greet each day with love, and I will succeed at building God's kingdom. Now, I've given you a lot of challenges there. I pray that you would listen and embed those things. How can I love the way that Christ loved me on that cross? It's hard. Sometimes I don't want to because they don't deserve it. But then I think of what Christ did. It's not even anywhere close to what he did for us and for the love that he showed to us. So thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share what I believe that God has put on my heart. And as I strive, as we strive to become the children of God, so that we can change this world and begin a revival, and it needs to begin with us. May our eyes see every person with love. Let me pray for you and thank you again. Father, we come to you and we're so thankful for your word. Thank you for your son that died, your one and only son that died for Randy, for each one here at Springfield First Church. Lord, we just give you praise and we give you thanks, and we're going to shout it from the rooftops as we praise and honor and worship you. And Father, you've given us a challenge here to love with our whole body, heart, soul, to love every individual the way that you love them. Even those that was harming you, even those that didn't want anything to do with you, they knew. The rich young man that came to you and asked and went away sad. I just know good and well that he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt, just by looking into your eyes, of how much you loved him. May we be that. And may we change the trajectory of this country. May we wake up each morning with love in our heart. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. And we're going to give you the honor and the glory and all the praise for everything that transpires from us changing our eyes into loving eyes, our actions into loving actions, our hearts into loving hearts. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.